Welcome to Season 5 of the Getting Into Good Trouble podcast, where we get into good trouble so you don't have to. Each podcast episode will explore an ongoing or recently resolved international protest. This episode of the Getting Into Good Trouble podcast will focus on the protests launched by immigrants in Mexico who are fighting against the inhumane conditions they're experiencing. I'm your host, Oliver Membrio.
I'm your co-host, Molly Bainton.
I'm Grayson Richmond.
And I'm Trey.
So, what do you think ignited these protests, Molly?
Immigrant rights activist groups have blamed poor conditions and overcrowding for a fire that killed at least 40 Mexican migrants from Central and South America. The fire occurred at a migrant detention center in Ciudad Juarez, a Mexican city on the U.S. border, where over 3,000 people marched on the streets protesting the poor conditions for working migrants. So, Grayson, can you give us some more detail about the situation?
Sure, Molly. So Mexico's president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, actually blamed the protesting migrants for causing the fire, even though security footage published by El Universal showed two immigration agents leaving the scene after the fire began, while the detainees were unfortunately locked up and unable to escape the flames.
So to get more information on the protest, here's an interview with Marisol Chavez, a journalist who has written multiple articles regarding the Mexican migrant protests for numerous different journals.
Hi, Ms. Chavez. How are you today? We are students from Mount Vernon, and we're doing some research on the immigration protests in Mexico, and we just have a few questions for you today.
Yes, I'm glad to see you all here. I've worked on some protests, did my best to answer your questions with you know, the work that I've done. And
absolutely. Thank you so much. Starting off, so in your experience, would you say the Mexican government is particularly just or effective?
I am also Mexican. So I have my own experiences with the Mexican government as a citizen of the country. But in terms of immigration and migrants, at least in that specific moment I participated in or was part of because of my journalism, there was a lot of talk about the protests starting because the government was being unfair and because they were taking measures against migrants. And that caused the fire that I talk about in the story. And that also caused the protest afterwards. So,
yeah, thank you.
Would you say that this is a large protest by Mexico's standards? And are there any similar protests to compare to the scale?
Well, in terms of Mexico standards, this was not the biggest protest there has ever been. I mean, especially in Mexico City, you can see very large protests taking place. This was a good size, if that makes sense. I mean, I've been to femicide protests here in Ciudad Juarez. Those are bigger. In terms of migrant protests, this was the biggest I've seen.
When we think of Mexican immigrants, we typically think of them coming from Mexico into the States. Would you say this is a dangerous assumption?
I would say it is. I mean, I rarely speak with Mexican immigrants. Most of the people I encounter living in the streets is people from other places of the world, not necessarily from Mexico. And this is because when, at least what I have seen and the people I have talked to, when you're migrating from Mexico to the U.S., you have a little bit of a bigger support system than when you're migrating from Venezuela or from Colombia or many other places in Latin America. So the people who end up, you know, unfortunately living, when you're a migrant from Mexico, you probably already know a little bit about Mexican laws, about what you can do. You're not illegally staying in a country that, you know, is not your home country. And migrants from Latin America have a little bit more trouble with finding jobs because they have to do their paperwork first when they get to Mexico, et cetera. So sometimes they end up in tougher positions than Mexican migrants who are still in Mexico.
And so what could the Mexican government do to help this immigration protest fiasco thing?
It's not only the Mexican government could do something about it. This is a problem that really, if it could be fixed easily it would have already been fixed. I have talked to many people and almost all of them would tell me if I could go back to my country and live a good life, I would. At the end of the day, it's people trying to run a country and doing the best they can with the resources that they have and with a government that is a lot of the times and most of the times corrupt, a government that doesn't really care for its own people, but for power. So, I mean, how can Mexico do better? By being better. And that doesn't only start with migration. There's a lot to fix in terms of Mexico as a country. And then we can start to talk about fixing the immigration system in Mexico. And migrants are just, you know, trying to find the loopholes and to find, you know, how they can navigate the system that just simply doesn't work for them, doesn't work for anyone.
So do you have like a personal connection to this issue? And I was just curious.
Well, like I mentioned, I was raised in the border. I'm not a migrant because I was born in the U.S. Even when I wasn't a journalist, I would see migrants every day. Every Christmas, now that we're around Christmas, every Christmas there are always programs in place to, you know, get clothing and toys for children of migrant families who don't really get to spend Christmas in a way that they would like. So I've seen that every day. So there's definitely that connection. Government officials took away their babies and they don't know if they're alive or if they're dead or if they, where are their children? And these are mothers who approach me and they feel comfortable telling me these stories. These are stories that are just, you know, sometimes a little bit too much to handle. Yeah, but just overall, like the atmosphere that day was heavy, it was intense, but it also brought me a lot of hope because I saw people who had nothing willing to risk even more just to see justice for their peers who had traveled with them.
In order to read more about Maricel Chavez's work, press the link in our description for this podcast episode.
Now let's review the changes in the Mexican policies regarding migrants and see what occurred to the government officials in charge of the migrants who passed in the fire.
The Mexican government put the person in charge of the immigration facilities, Francisco Garduño, on trial, to no avail.
Other than that, there hasn't necessarily been any positive change. Francisco is home free and the facilities have not been improved. The judge in his trial was likely biased and the president stood with the man on trial and likely helped him evade his prosecution.
Francisco even said that he would continue to work until otherwise, implying that he intends to make no changes, possibly leading to even poorer conditions in the immigration facilities.
In summary, around 3,000 migrants in southern Mexico protested against the government following a fatal fire inside a migrant processing center.
Hindered by the authorities, they seek better treatment in the centers and demand the abolishment of the implicated immigration agency.
The agency head, Francisco Garduño, faces trial for negligence in the deaths of 40 migrants, but still remains in his position.
The protests and trial highlight long-standing challenges faced by migrants, forming a part of the broader narrative around immigration policies, human rights, and accountability.
Make sure to tune in next time.
Thanks for listening to the Getting Into Good Trouble podcast.